Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kowalski!
Martin set up to the left of Winston. Winston has it. He throws. End zone. Touchdown. Mike Evans. Winston throws. It is Evans. Touchdown. His second of the game. Wilson throws. And it's picked off. Pass is picked off by Algeron Forner. Wilson on second down. Fires. And it's picked off.
The Bucks Uncensored podcast is now your number one podcast for the Bucks. You know it is. You guys just keep blowing it up, and I just keep serving it to you. And I fucking love it. iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean are places you can subscribe to the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Download straight to your phone as soon as it hits. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, usually in the afternoon. But if you're too anxious to wait until the afternoon on those days, dude, the partnership we have at JoeBucksFan.com has been incredible. Love those guys. It has been awesome. I mean, I've been a fan of theirs since day one of their website launching many years ago. They know that. To watch them grow and to now be a part of that with the partnership has been fantastic. And the response to the podcast has been great, and I think it's been great for them as well. So first and foremost, thanks to each and every one of you that has just completely made this podcast explode. And it's not me, it's you. As I said on my last podcast, I can't think of another outlet that gives you, the fans, the right to speak with your passion. And I've already listened to the voice memos that I'm going to play on this podcast, and just thinking back to the voice memos I played on the last podcast, to hear this raw passion coming from Bucks fans, I mean, it gives me goosebumps. And it's just been so long, and so much bitching and so much complaining, and rightfully so. And trust me, I have led the charge on that. But, God, just a couple of wins. What a couple of wins has done to this town, has done to our psyche. It truly has been amazing. And I really, really hope that this is just the beginning of something special. Now, speaking of those voice memos from Monday, I'm not sure if anything's going to compare to this.
Let's fucking go, baby! Huh? Huh, Justin? Huh? Let's change this podcast name to Bucks Fucking Uncensored, baby. Let's go. Huh? Fill that house up, goddammit. Let's go. All the way from VA, baby. Let's go, Justin. Let's go, Buck Nation. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. One of my favorites from Monday, and there were many. After you get done listening to this podcast, always fun listening to the reactionary podcast right after the game, right after. Now, it wasn't right after for me, because it took me 3 hours to listen to all the voice memos that came in. I played as many as I could. I'm going to play a bunch more today. But, man, it's over an hour, and I've listened to it twice, and it's not because I'm pompous and I love to hear myself. I really didn't talk that much. I wanted to hear the fans again and again. I told you I listened to all those voice memos. If you sent one in and it didn't get aired and didn't get played, hey, listen, no hard feel. I heard it. I heard the passion from every single one of you. And we're all on the same page. Trust me on that. And now I don't know if anything's going to compare to it, but let's see if we can try. Lee?
This is Lee out of Tampa, and I'll go ahead and start my shit talking now, Commission. I'm so fucking proud of these dudes. Man, what a win. What a gut check. And they showed the hell up. They let the league know these are the new Bucks. That old shit is gone. Man, I thought I was watching fucking John Lynch and Dessa Jackson and the Rook. They couldn't block the rookie off the edge today, man. Damn, he came out like gangbusters. And Mike Evans owned Richard Sherman. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You Seahawks fan, I don't give a shit. Mike Evans took his ass to school. I don't want to hear shit else. Jameis went to work on their ass. I don't want to hear shit else. You don't got shit to say to me about Mike Evans, Jameis Winston, and what this defense did today. Shut up. Fuck that. For me, that's a shutout. Kept their ass out the end zone. Man, that shit brought tears in my eyes, man. And Commish, I appreciate, you know, what you've been doing, man. You've been rallying the troops. And I know you don't believe in momentum. But what's been going on at the stadium, man, the energy's been up. Every week, that energy gets up. The energy grows. The fans are really feeling what's going on. And it's showing on the field, man. It's showing on the field. Two home wins in a row. We looking like a fucking football team. We in striking distance of the South. And now when we go, motherfuckers got to know. They got to respect when they see that TB on their schedule. Because we bringing it. And like Jamie say, we going to be hell. And he right. We looking like we going to be hell. Man, I'm getting out of here, Commish. Damn good podcast.
Yeah.
Peace.
Always love when you chime in, Lee. Thank you. I want to watch a game with Lee and Vilboy, who was on before him. Just put me in between those guys for a game. Let me see if I can handle it. I think I can. I watched the game again tonight before I started the podcast. I'm recording this on Tuesday night for the Wednesday morning posting. Let me just say this. That was a team on a mission, and I haven't seen a Bucks team on a mission like that in a decade. They came out in that game, and it wasn't we want to win, it's we have to win. And it wasn't a desperate we have to win, it was we have to win because we have to kick this team's ass. I mean, I'll tell you what, Mike Evans and all the stuff that was going on with him, holy shit. You know what I loved most about Mike Evans in that game? He didn't smile once. He didn't smile, not on the field, not when they showed him on camera. I mean, he would catch passes, and he would throw the ball to the ref, and he would go back to the huddle. And you could see the determination on his face. He was going to beat the shit out of Richard Sherman, not Seymour, Sherman. And he did. That touchdown, that second touchdown, we were all in shock. I'll continue to say, I looked around, I couldn't believe the faces on people's faces. Boy, redundancy is my strength, but it was truly, I mean, people didn't know what to think. They did not know what to think. The Bucks were up 14-0 and dominating on both sides of the ball, and nobody knew what to do. And you could kind of tell when I watched it back on TV, but boy, oh boy, did the sound. I mean, I'm glad I was in the stadium, but if you weren't in the stadium, tell me you cranked the TV so you could hear the roar of the crowd. When was the last time there was a roar of the crowd inside Raymond James Stadium? I mean, it was electric. Oh, and by the way, if you like those type of games, let's get by the Chargers, right? Let's get the win against the Chargers. The Saints game, Sunday. Yeah, the next home game. Yeah, that is flexed to 425 nationally televised game. Holy shit. Holy shit. That is so big. so big. They're making December relevant again. Do you realize what's happening right now? And then the next game after that, Dallas, there's already a bunch of rumors that that's going to be flexed either to 425 or, dare I say, Sunday Night Football. Oh, and by the way, if you keep winning, again, you know, to think that they're going to win out is, I think, naive on all of our parts. But if they keep winning, if they get to 9 wins, be prepared, Bucks fans. Be prepared, because I think we're starting to get a taste for this. The Buccaneers starting to get national play, which means you're going to start seeing them on primetime a lot more. Young, exciting team with a young, exciting quarterback. If that defense continues to play the way they're playing. And, oh, by the way, not enough people have made mention of Noah Spence. The fucking guy dominated. He was the best player on the Bucs defense. You know, I go to JoeBucksFan.com, and they're writing about some old sports radio host who's bitching about Gerald McCoy and how the haters. Let's all stop talking about Gerald McCoy. Listen, he made a sack at the end of the great. If he's hurt, whatever. Noah Spence was the player in that game. Bradley McDougald was phenomenal in that game. Made huge plays in that game. Noah Spence made huge plays in that game. Ryan Russell had 2 sacks in that game. You know, Quan Alexander was all over the place. Let's just stop. You know, Gerald McCoy and Lavonte David are part of this defense. So be it. You know, whether you like them or you don't, it doesn't matter to me. But I'm going to point out the best players. The best player was Noah Spence. And that wasn't even close. Vernon Hargraves had a huge play. And by the way, nobody's talking about this. How about the fact that that Vernon Hargraves went from outside corner back into slot corner? This guy's a rookie. That's a different position. He went from outside corner into inside corner. He was playing the slot receivers, and you didn't hear anything from the Seahawks pass game. He had a great game. There was a play where it was a bubble screen to the outside, and he was so physical and ended up tackling the receiver 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Hargraves was great. Spence was great. Ryan Russell stepping in was great. Bradley McDougald was great. Alteron Verner was great. I mean, the list goes all of those defenders were great. So let's stop singling out one guy. We finally met. Okay, enough. We're over it. Bucks are winning now. Let's focus on the positives. Focus on the positives. Until they give us something negative to be negative about, man, I am flying high right now. Flying high. And I'm not the only one. Right, James?
Holy fucking shit, Justin. I am so stoked right now. I haven't been this stoked since hell. Fuck it, 2003, graduated, Bucks won Super Bowl, perfect graduation present, defense, beautiful, Hargraves, love it, Spence, light, nailed it, hell, maybe we should call him the rock star instead of Mark Dominic, Jameis, FSU fan right here, not surprised, Mike Evans, fucking beast, bro. A fucking beast. Gotta love it. Against Sherman, too? What else can you ask for? Imagine if we had V-Jax when we signed him with that type of skill as well. Love the podcast. Always nailing it. Thank you for saying the truth, speaking the truth. Thank you for giving me an outlet to listen to. Love Joe Bucks fan. And, of course, nailed it.
You did. Thank you very much, James, for chiming in. There's a reason that we've been talking about weapons for Winston, and boy, oh boy, I mean, what he's doing, he's willing his team. He has become the leader, and I really think that he started to become the leader in the second half of his rookie season, and then I don't think that he took over the team the way he should have at the beginning of this year, and I think it was that stretch the Raiders game, followed by the Falcons game. And that's when you heard now the players coming out and saying, Jameis, that was really where Jameis took over and talked about family and talked about, you know, being, having that bond together. And ever since then, it's been great. And I heard about Mike Evans on ESPN today talking about what the Bucs have, and he said swagger. I mean, when was the last time the Bucs had swagger? I mean, true swagger. It's truly amazing what's transpired over the last 3 weeks, and I do hope that they continue that on. Casey's up with us next.
What up, Justin? It's Casey again. This is me just throwing my thoughts out here, but we as a fan base really need to sit back and admire and appreciate every single thing that Jameis is doing to this team. Dirk Carter coming in, Mike Smith coming in. We needed that, and I'm going to be the first person to say that shit. But to sit back and see how Jameis is turning these fucking just no-name, who-the-fuck-are-you players great, it's unbelievable, and I swear nobody else in this fucking league could do what he's doing. Everybody needs to sit back and really appreciate this man, because we're watching him change this franchise before our very eyes, and we don't even know it yet. Go fucking Big Three. Go fucking Bucks. Go Justin.
Whoa. Go you. By the way, you can always join us for the podcast. You can record your voice on your phone and then just email it to bucksuncensored@gmail.com. bucksuncensored@gmail.com. The head honcho at Headliners Barbershop is my man Christian, and he's on. I know he's as big of a Bucks fan as you're going to find, and I love hearing his passion about the Bucks.
Justin, what's up, bro? It's Christian Perez, man. I'm riding back with my wife, my lovely wife, in the car here. I have not heard that stadium that loud. I can't even remember seeing it that hyped up and that packed. I literally have lost my voice, Justin. I haven't lost my voice in years at a Bucks game. Wow. Hashtag make December relevant again. That was awesome. That was amazing. That's a game changer. That can bring a lot of people back to the stadium again.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
VIP, coming live from the VIP. Heard the nightlife, lost life, what I mean.
I just thought that woo at the end was worthy of T.I. I mean, personally, I think Christian nailed it. But it was the woo that put him over the top.
Woo.
See? That was actually Christian. I mean, nailed it with the woo. Can we hear the woo again?
Woo.
Exactly.
Woo.
All right, thanks, T.I. Get out of here. All right, we got much more to get to. How about this? You guys remember what I played. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to Monday's podcast. I played a little snippet, and I don't have it to play again, but I played a little snippet of when I was leaving. I was periscoping so that you all could see what I was seeing at the same time. It was so amazing. I haven't left the stadium like that, going down the ramp. It was really cool. I think it really hit home with Tom.
Commish, this is Tom from West Palm, and just want to say thanks a lot for this opportunity to come on here. I mean, this is a great setup for everyone, all the fans to call in. Exciting last podcast you had with all the messages. I mean, it was just fantastic to hear the excitement. But my favorite was actually your first one, and that was you walking out of the stadium just recording the crowd as you're leaving the stadium, leaving Ray J. I was a season ticket holder from 2000 to 2007, back in, you know, the Gruden, the heyday, the kind of the tail end of that. And there was nothing better. And I had seats way up in 305, way up on the west side. So, you know, walking out of the stadium, it takes, you know, 10, 15 minutes. You're downstairs and escalators. But when you, after a big win, there was nothing better than, you know, as you're walking, going down one level and you're going down to the escalator, and the crowd gets bigger and bigger, and you hear the buzz and the Tampa Bay cheers and slapping high fives with people that, you know, you'll never see again. But I mean, it was just one big, huge family as it grew, as you got down to ground level. And to hear that in that message, that first one you played, I mean, it just, that's what it's all about. You know, just you know, we're all Tampa Bay fans. We all suffer. We all had joy back in 2002, and suffer for a while now. But that is what it's all about, just leaving there with your fellow fans, just excited. And I tell you what, Glazers, if you're listening to this, I hope you are. You know, let's keep that feeling going as we keep it going here. You know, maybe not the playoffs this year. Hopefully, you never know. But definitely climb the mountain, man. We're beginning that climb like in 1997, first game, where that was the beginning steps of climbing the mountain. And hopefully this is the beginning steps of climbing a new mountain. It's going to be exciting. Go Bucks. Thanks, Kamish. Love you. Talk to you later.
I love you, too. Thank you, Tom. And it's a special feeling leaving the stadium and walking down that ramp and hitting into a Tampa Bay chant. It's just... Man, it's just special. I remember going to New Orleans back in, might have been the Super Bowl year of 2002, and just being on Bourbon Street and doing that was pretty incredible. But just each win, I mean, when your team's good and they go out and have a great performance and you're leaving the game and you're walking down the ramp and just everyone's going crazy, it's even sweeter when you really, and I don't think a lot of people expected them to win on Sunday against the Seahawks. I think everyone wanted them to, but nobody truly would go out and bet on them winning. And I think that's what made it even crazier leaving that game, was that the shock that people were in the first half just turned to utter elation. And it was, I mean, high-fiving and hugging people you don't know is so awesome, you know, at a sporting event. I mean, when they're okay with it, too. TK in Vegas.
Justin, man, what is going on? This is TK out here in Las Vegas. First-time caller, you know, long-time listener. Love your podcast, man. All I got to say is, goddamn those Bucks. Man, I swear, that had to have been one of the most complete games that I've seen from this team in a long time. And I've been a fan since 97, man. I swear, in the past recent, 5 to 10 years, this is one of the best games that I've seen. Just well-rounded all the way around. I mean, offense, Jameis killed it. You know, that leadership skill he has is just out of this world. I'm so glad that we took him over Mariota, you know. And Doug, you know, he's back. What can I say? No splash plays, but he kept running hard. He was running good. I give him much respect for coming back, man. And Mike Evans, Mike motherfucking Evans, number 13. Damn. Man, Mike all day is all I got to say. If he doesn't go to the Pro Bowl this year, something is wrong. He is an elite, elite wide receiver. Man, you look at that defense too. Noah Spence from the corner, Robert Ayers, Gerald McCoy holding down the middle. You know, that secondary, making those picks, making some big plays. Man, this defense is finally looking solid. All I got to say is I hope we can keep this going. You know, get a W out there in San Diego, and, you know, that's about it, man. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks is right. All right, one more, and then, we got a bunch more, but we'll play one more, and then I want to read somebody who did not send in a voice memo, but sent in something, and usually, and I do get a lot of emails that are just typed out, and I try not to just read them, but I try not to read them on the podcast. I do read them off the podcast. And this next one is pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I'll get to it in a moment. Aaron's up with us. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Justin. It's Aaron. All I can say after that game is, where the fuck has this defense been? Not just this year, but the last, 8 to 10 fucking years? Good God, that was reminiscent of the 2002 defense all the fucking way. God. And those refs, I swear to God, they almost fucked us over not once, but twice. Once on the Cam Brait bullshit call, and one on the DeMar Dotson call. I mean, I don't see where the fucking hands, were in a bad area. That almost cost us right there. That should have been a fucking touchdown, and we should have won that game 21-5. But hey, 14-5, we still won regardless. All I can say is, fucking Tampa Bay! Yeah!
Okay. And with that, we go to Michael's email. Thank you, Aaron, by the way. Started off a little slow, but boy, oh boy, did that end strong. All right, Michael sent me an email yesterday. This would have been on Monday, and started to read it and realized I had to read it on the podcast to share with everyone else. Michael said, I go to a game every year, but this year money was a little tighter than normal. And with the way September and October went, I literally said, quote, they should play better to earn my money, end quote. Well, around the end of October, early November, I started listening to your podcast. Love it. I was all on board for the blow it up and start over hype train, but they beat the Bears easy. No surprise there. But then the want inside to go to a game started growing. Then they beat the Chiefs. Then you started talking playoff football. I don't know if I did. I don't know if I did. Did I? I said let's treat the Seahawks game like a playoff atmosphere. I wasn't really talking playoffs yet, but I get your drift. I was talking atmosphere, playoffs. The word playoff came out of my mouth. Then he said it grew and grew, so I bought my tickets. Listened to the podcast on the way to the game. Made sure to get in the seats before kickoff. Good move. I told other fans this was win or go home. Every play, I made a big deal. I left it all out there, and it was the best game I've ever been to. I wanted to sincerely thank you for literally talking me into going. Bucks, hello, sales. But not only going, but going all in. Leaving it there with the team. That was the best home crowd I've been with. So thank you, and go Bucks. Michael, excellent email, and glad to read that passion that you had. Glad you got to go to that game. And there have been so many games over the last 10, 11, 12 years that I think a lot of people that went to the game regretted going to the game. This is the first time in a long time that I look back at Sunday's game and I'm just like, thank God I didn't miss that. That was awesome. And I cannot wait to do it again and again and again. They got two home games left, both divisional games. Saints, Panthers. Saints and Panthers. Could the Panthers game be a win and get into the playoffs game? Oh, jeez, just stop. Just stop. Let's just take it one game at a time. It's a cliche, but it works here. It is a cliche, but it works here. All right, let me get my buddy Dave on. Dave. Hello, Dave.
What up, Justin? Yeah, it's your boy Davis in Las Vegas. Hey, I just actually had a question, and yeah, a lot of it's because I want to hear the Phil Collins. This is the studio music, so just play the music and let's get on with the question.
All right. Hold on just a moment, and we will get that underway here momentarily.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it! There we go. I mean, Phil Collins would be so pumped up right now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions. 8. And that's all because Dave loves Phil Collins. And he knows that when the questions come pouring in, that means it's Phil Collins time. But just like for all good things, Phil Collins has to come to an end. Sorry. I'm sorry, Phil. And I'm sorry to each and every one of you that wanted to hear Phil Collins. But guess what? You could probably just listen to that instead of this podcast. But you love this podcast so much that you don't want to give that up. So without further ado...
What up, Justin? Yeah, it's your boy.
Okay, yeah, we've already heard all that. Let's get Dave's actual question.
Simple question, man. What's it going to take for us to go 4 in a row and beat the San Diego Superchargers?
That's an excellent question. And that's one that I'm going to talk about at length on Saturday's podcast when we really dive into the matchup. Kind of hold off on that today, if that's all right with you. Dave, thank you. And yes, I'll definitely talk about that a lot more on Saturday's podcast. Let's get Demetrius on. Demetrius.
Hey, Justin. It's coming. This recording is coming after the Bucks win. It's Monday morning. And I was actually at the game. The atmosphere is very electrifying, but I want to harp on the secondary. I know we lost Jude RJ Marima, but this is the best that our secondary has looked all year, like for the last 2 years. And I'm starting to think, like, so we benched Alteron Verner for RJ Marima, and look what we're getting out of Verner now. Like, he's been balling. And I don't know, I never really saw him, I never really saw a reason for him to be benched, being that all our corners were getting beat, but they harped on him to be benched. He was the scapegoat, but I just want to know what you think about that. All right.
I think Verner actually didn't perform well early on in the season, which led to his benching. I don't know if I agreed with him never seeing the field again, but what I am glad about is that now that he's seen the field, he's playing extremely well. And I also like the fact that Vernon Hargraves moved inside without skipping a beat. I mean, it was good to see. Depth at corners being tested right now with Ajay Barima out. And if anything does happen injury-wise, you're going to see Josh Robinson, who, by the way, has been spectacular on special teams. But they'll need him to step up and play more of a role at corner if any other injuries occur. But, I think Verner was an inspirational leader with what happened with his family before that game. So good job to Verner. And good question, Demetrius. Steve.
What's up, Justin? Steve in New York here. I got a question for you. What's Tampa like on New Year's Eve? You think it's too hasty for me to be looking online for Southwest flights from New York to Tampa right now? I don't think so. Let's see, a round-trip flight, $500. A couple nights stay at the old Ramada on Northwest Shore there. A couple $100. Ticket to the game? Well, I guess that depends on exactly where I want to sit. But I'll tell you what, a win over the Panthers on New Year's Day to clinch a playoff spot? Now that's priceless. Later.
Let's get there first. Let's get there first, but boy, that would be something else. That would be something else. Brandon's up with us. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Commissions. Brandon from Philly. I had a quick question on Jacquizz Rodgers. Where does he fit at in the Bucs offense on the short term and long term after the end of the season? Like, short term, is he going to be a third down back? Long term, does he get a contract? Not a big contract, but does he get a contract to be our number two back in as a long term option?
I mean, I don't really see that. I know he filled in well when they needed him to, but he's never really been a feature back. I don't know, and obviously he got injured. I don't know if he's a guy that you can really rely on to get that many carries week after week. He's just not big enough to take that kind of beating, and I think this injury proves it. I do think that the Buccaneers need another running back. I would like to see them get another running back. I think it's time to start grooming another running back behind Doug Martin. And I'll stick to my my second, third round. I think this is a good year for the Bucs to get a running back. And I think it's so apparent now that they have to have some semblance of a run game. Doesn't have to be a dominant run game, but they have to have the threat of the run that opens up the play action pass, which is what Dirk Cutter's offense really thrives off of. To get that, you have to have that threat. And you know, Doug Martin fumbled. It was a big fumble. Other than that, I thought he ran hard. I'd like to see another back be able to run in a similar fashion. And I think this draft coming up, and I don't want to talk too much about the draft, but this draft coming up is loaded at running back. I think you can get one in the second or third round that would be a great compliment to Doug Martin. You have Charles Sims as your third down back. I think you still bring Peyton Barber back to compete during training camp and see if he can't win a spot, maybe four running backs on the roster. But for the most part, I don't foresee Jacquizz Rodgers being in the mix to see significant playing time, just because I don't know how reliable he is long term. So I hope that answers your question. Really like what he did when the Bucs needed him most, but I'm hoping that they learn their lesson and don't allow a lack of depth to attack this roster next season at that position. Good question, though. Let's get Justin on with us. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Kamish. This is Justin out in Valrico. What a damn win Sunday. And that was a team that was playing with more life than I've seen in the past decade, in which I agree with you that was a huge win and probably the best damn defensive performance they've had in over a decade. I mean, they were flying around and the defensive line was just playing with a cause and you could definitely see it, you know. So I'm hoping they keep this streak going. Just had a couple questions in regards to, do you think that the safety play as of late alleviates them from even considering possibly Jamal Adams in the draft? Or if you think that they do go a different route in the first round and they take another weapon for Winston, or do you think they address that in free agency? Love the podcast. Been listening to you since the 98.7 The Fan days.
Whoa.
And it's a real bummer that we don't have radio anymore down here for the mornings, but happy that you get up and do this podcast. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, it's a shame that a sports town with three professional sports teams doesn't have a local sports talk radio show. I would say it's embarrassing, but it's not really embarrassing for us. It's embarrassing for the media outlets in this town that just don't get it. They don't get it. But I do, and I know that people are listening to this podcast and most likely listening in the morning. So, hey, thank you, iHeart. Appreciate it. We're not going to talk about the draft. Normally, we are talking draft as we get into late November and early December. That's when we really start to hit it hard because the Bucks are out of it. But they're not, so I'm going to kind of push the draft to the side a little bit. And actually gleefully doing that. So I'm pretty pumped about it. Eric's up with us. Hey, Eric.
What's up, Justin? Eric from Ruskin. Celebrating this win, feeling good, loving it, love talking shit to my coworkers. It's amazing how they just stay away from me when their fuck-ass team loses. And always in my face when the Bucks lose. Like, oh, how much your team sucks? Nobody now. I went looking for them, though, just to let them know with my Winston shirt on. Also, my fear is we know Winston still needs more weapons. We still need some playmakers on defense. I'm worried that they're going to think, the Bucks, I mean, they're going to think that everything's good now that they got a little streak going, they're playing a lot better. I'm worried about they might not make the changes necessary in the off seasons and kind of stick the status quo, hoping people can gel together and become better. So what can you tell me to make me feel better that they're still going to pick up some weapons, even if they finish out the season pretty well?
Completely believe that they're going to continue to try and get better. You know, just because they've won three games in a row doesn't erase what I think general manager Jason Light saw earlier on in the season. They're healthy now, and they weren't healthy before. And a couple of injuries and they're tapping into the lack of depth they have on their roster. That's what I was talking about at running back, is if Doug Martin goes down, you want to have another back that can come in and help establish some sort of threat in the running game. And so that's why I think a mid-round running back, when there are so many having so much success around the NFL, would be a smart move by the Bucs. They have to get weapons for Jameis Winston. Jason Light has to understand that by now. For Jameis Winston to be doing what he's doing is simply incredible. It helps to have a star receiver in Mike Evans, but when you have that star receiver, sometimes you force the ball to him, as Jameis did late in the game, and throw an interception because you flat out just don't have anyone else to throw the ball to. So I would like to see them get another receiver, whether it be in free agency or the draft or both. I think there's going to be some quality receivers available in free agency, and I think there's always some quality receivers that you can get with proper scouting sometime in the draft as well. Might not be in the first round, and it might not be a high-priced free agent wide receiver, but just bringing in some talent to surround Jameis Winston with, I think, is a move the Buccaneers need to make. As for the defensive side of the ball, they're still going to look to improve that side as well. So I don't think that it's going to be a status quo. And before I go any further, Marcel wants to kind of leapfrog and continue that.
Yo,
topic.
Justin, Marcel in Tampa. Would have got in a memo yesterday or Sunday, but my throat was hurting. I haven't screamed like that since probably the Super Bowl. You know, if, great win, felt amazing to be this high. But I still have a question about the team as a whole and the purge that we talk so much about in the losing streak. And because there are still players, individual players that frustrate me, such as DeMar Dotson with, you know, the flag that takes away the game-sealing touchdown, Levante David, fans being surprised that he made a play that shouldn't happen, Gerald McCoy being absolutely dominant and then getting hurt, Chris Conte and coverage really shaky. And I was just wondering if the purge that we spoke about, is that still a full go, or is it now a mini purge? Because I know winning can mask a lot, because, you know, it's winning, obviously, duh. But I know the main offseason is about weapons for Winston. Do you still purge, or is everything fixed and we pretend nothing happened? Curious to get your thoughts. Love the podcast. And nail it.
You're always looking to get better. I'll leave it at that. And when they were 8 games into the season and they were 3-5 and they looked horrible in a couple of straight games, I said on this podcast that it was time to evaluate. Who's ready to be here for the long term, and who doesn't give a shit? And I said, I put all the names up on a board, and I immediately had 9 names on the right side. Jameis, Mike Evans, Noah Spence, Vernon Hargraves, Pamphill, Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith, Quan Alexander. I had a couple others. I can't remember them now. So I had all those names on one side, and I had everyone else on the other side. And then what I'm going to do is evaluate the rest of the year and start moving names to the safe side as we go through. And I mean, it's early. They're three games, but, you know, we all know what happens, right? They lose this game. They lose against the Saints. Now all of a sudden it's chaos and, oh my God, what's wrong with the team, and blow it all up again. Okay. When they were 3-5, I think all of us, especially after they got their asses handed to them against Atlanta, we all said, okay, playoffs are done. This isn't a playoff team. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, and I still don't think they're going to win. I don't believe they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. So I'm going to evaluate. I'm going to continue to evaluate. And maybe the purge was never going to be 50 players. It was never was going to be 40 players. At most, it might be four. And yeah, are there still four players on the roster, four or five players on the roster that, you know what, we need to move on from these guys. They don't really fit what we're trying to do, and we feel we can get better at these positions. Yeah, absolutely. You know, bold moves are still there to be made. And it's not only bold moves in getting rid of players, it's bold moves in getting players. And that doesn't mean spending the most money. That means getting the right players that are going to come in and be the right fit for this team. And maybe you're starting to see, it's like, I have a 2-year-old, so many of you that have kids can relate to this, but it's like having an infant. And all of a sudden, he or she, you can see their personality developing right before your eyes every single day. Every day when I come home from work, I see the personality more and more and more and more. Boy, and it's just, it's such an awesome personality to watch. It's just, she's so much fun, but that's my daughter. I think the Bucks are the same way. I think you're seeing these extremely young players. Jameis, look at the four players I think stood out most against Seattle. And this is telling, and I hope that most of you have listened this far into the podcast, because this shit might blow your fucking mind right now. The four players that probably stood out most to me were Bradley McDougald, who's third year or whatever, Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, and Noah Spence. Think of how young they are. And they have taken, I said, the players who want to be around here need to take over the organization. Those players have taken over the organization. They were the reason that the Bucks won on Sunday. It was Jameis, it was Mike Evans, it was Noah Spence, and it was Bradley McDougald. And I think Kwon Alexander can be thrown in there as well. Now all of a sudden you're talking about very, very young football players playing at an extremely high level to where older players are looking to them for leadership. Leadership. And although not all of them have the C on their chest, you can see the players that other players are gravitating towards. This was a team and an organization without an identity for a long time. And some can joke that their identity was a losing identity. And you might be right in that. But they were also an organization and a team without a personality. And what we're seeing now is this infant is starting to grow up right before our eyes. And each and every day, each and every week, each and every game, we're seeing that personality develop more and more and more. And when Mike Evans goes on ESPN and says that they have swag, that they're playing with swag, and he says it with a straight face, with a scowl on his face, and you see that same scout on the field, and their play is matching their attitude, that's not only gravitating for other players to those players that are becoming the leaders on the team, but that's gravitating for the fans to the players, a gravitational pull that has not been there in a long, long time. It's the young players that are developing and taking control of the organization. They are changing the culture, the personality, and the future of your team. And that should get you fired up for not only this Sunday, next Sunday, the rest of the season, and hopefully the rest of their careers. I'm Justin Pulaski. I'm the commish. This is Bucks Uncensored, Mondays, Wednesdays, Saturdays, in the morning at joebucksfan.com, in the afternoon, subscribe, iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean. Follow me on Twitter at Commish Online, Facebook.com/Commish Online, and go to Bricado's and get a, I like the ribeye sandwich. So let's do this week. Go to Brocato's for lunch. One day, could be Saturday, could be Sunday, could be during the week. When you go, order online, brocatosandwich.com. Give them a call. Their phone number's online as well. Order your food before you go. They're going to be packed. That's how Brocato's rolls. When you go in, you find Mike. He's the loud one. He's yelling everyone's name out. You go up to Mike and you say, Mike, Bucks Uncensored kicks ass. That's how I found out about Brocato's. Or if you already knew about Brocato's, you just say, I am so pumped up that my two favorite things in all of the world, Brocato's and Bucks Uncensored, are united as one. And you know what Mike's going to tell you? He's going to say, go Bucks, because he is one of the biggest Bucks fans out there. I love the guy. I need to go see him, actually. Get myself a devil crab. Don't forget to try that devil crab. Don't forget to listen to every Bucks Uncensored podcast and check out joebucksfan.com. Thanks again for listening. And you know what I just did? Fucking nailed it.